Chapter 60. The wampum master was sitting tranquilly in the small meditation garden adjacent to the training grounds. It was outside the main walls of the facilities, and animals and curious wanderers periodically disrupted the order of things, occasionally making a bit of a mess of the vegetation and overturning the low seats. Sir Berood, however, seemed almost pleased by this, taking the time to put things back in order as just one more form of meditation, an opportunity to calm his mind through simple actions that required little thought. Today he had no such work to do and was sitting tranquilly beside a large, weathered rock, one small section of it polished to a high gloss. He looked up at Charlie with a calm and assessing eye as he approached. "Come sit with me," he said, offering a cup of tea. "Thank you, Sir Berood," Charlie said, taking the offered seat. They sipped tea in silence a few moments, the wampa master slowly rubbing his hand across the smooth part of the rock, as if stroking a cat. "Do you know why you have such difficulty with casting spells, Charlie?" he asked. "I think it's my pronunciation. When I got flustered, I must not have been saying things right." "And the killing word you attempted to use, how was it that particular spell nearly worked?" Charlie hesitated. "Well, to be completely honest, there are some commands I've known for a while, since I was taken captive. A lot, actually. I sing them to myself to help remember them. Because I've repeated them out loud and in my head so many times, the words are easier to say." Sir Berood looked at him with a curious expression. "You have learned other spells, you say, yet no one taught them to you." "That's right. He hesitated. "I learned them in hopes of one day using them to escape. Please don't tell Gramfear. He'll sell me for Zamalki food." The great gladiator let out a low laugh. "Oh, I will not see you fed to the animals, Charlie. But now my suspicions as to your problem are confirmed. You keep talking of these spells as though they are mere words. Your mind will not allow you to accept that this galaxy is different from your own. I admit, I, too, found it difficult to accept that a world such as yours could exist, one where not magic, but this thing you call tech, ruled the lands. But once one accepts that there are places ruled by laws of nature far different from any we understand, then all one must do is learn to work by those new rules, no matter how foreign and illogical they may seem." "What are you saying? You believe me about technology?" "Yes, Charlie, I do. The concept, at least, though the actual function still evades me. Everyone else calls it tech magic. It is what we know in this galaxy. But magic for us is a term for things of power, just as you use the word technology. Consider them interchangeable, at least conversationally. But the Tslavers said they could feel no power in my tech. No one could. They don't understand how it works, and that makes everyone uncomfortable. I know, just as I know where your mind is stuck in these matters. We have discussed many things during our chess matches. You open up more than you realize as we play those games." Charlie hadn't thought about it much. He assumed the Wampa had simply been absorbed in learning the new strategy game from another world. But as he reflected back on their games, he supposed they actually did have a bit of a psychologist couch feel to them as well. "You use the game, something from my world that made me comfortable, to dig around in my head." "I wouldn't put it quite like that, but yes, and I see your problem. You witness magic around you every day, Charlie. Our entire galaxy functions by it. Yet you still call it voice command, as if it were technology from your world, despite accepting it for what it is." "Right, different tech for different galaxies." "No, that's not what I'm saying. In this galaxy, there are hundreds of billions of stars, and of those, there are hundreds of millions of planetary systems. And of those, there are hundreds of inhabited worlds, though many speculate there could be tens of thousands of them, and exploration is constantly occurring. As you've seen, different species possess different abilities, though those who can wield power without external aid are extremely rare. Hence the Conus, the Slap, and the Claith." "Exactly. tools that store power for those without, as well as focusing that of those who already possess it. These powers evolved over millennia, you see. The radiation of a tiny handful of suns in this network of systems interacting galactically, creating a solar harmonic between the worlds. It is an invisible force of immense power, able to be stored in some devices, and some evolved to be far more attuned to it than others. That sounds more like a superhero origin story than magic, Charlie noted. Makes me expect to find a big chunk of kryptonite laying around here somewhere. You use humor to hide your confusion and fear, and that is normal. But I want you to try to understand that magic is not voice command of a technology device as in your world. Magic is power. Power in the air, power in the void of space, power that certain sound combinations tap into. So, voice control. No, Charlie. The voice is only the smallest part of it. The trigger, if you will. It is the visceral feeling, the intent and will within the caster that ultimately makes a spell work. And these words, they just stumbled upon them across all those systems? Actually, yes, Sir Berood replied. What you hear now are the combined learnings of hundreds of worlds, the knowledge pooled as contact and alliances were formed. The spells themselves are not true words in the sense of language. They are sound combinations that transcend language. You may have noticed that even without translator spells, these words sound the same, yes? I was wondering about that, actually. Berood smiled. Good. You have been paying attention. These spells were discovered by accident, sounds and thoughts uttered, causing things to happen. And even then, only for the smallest fraction of beings. That power is incredibly rare. Those who possess that kind of internal power move on to become Mesters, Emics, and, for the truly powerful, Vislas. These beings dedicate their lives to training, gaining more control of their power, while pushing the boundaries of spells, expanding our magical knowledge. That was how the Council of 20 was formed. The what? A group of the most powerful Vislas and power users from 20 key systems. They rule the others, keeping order. Once they promoted peace, but now they focus on amassing more power and control. Though with every new power-using planetary system discovered that is not under their rule, their power seems to weaken. It is the unusual way of the galactic network. Contact triggers a connection and ties the world together in mysterious ways mere men cannot fully understand. But what about the Otaki, or the Drooks? They have power, as you describe it, yet they are sold off as animals, essentially. Where's the upside for them? A sadness flashed across Sir Berood's face. Those who possess power, but either not the ability to use it, such as Otaki, or are limited by a single use for their power, such as Drooks, were seen as tools, organic versions of slaps, conuses, and other devices that store or control power. That's horrible. That's how it has always been, Berood replied. But I still don't understand how these spells came to be, even if people stumbled upon sounds and feelings that made these solar spawned powers react. A full-fledged magic-based society would take centuries to evolve. Millennia, actually, the pale man replied, stroking the smooth area of the rock beside him. Do you see this, Charlie? A massive rock jutting from the ground. Rough, hard, set in being exactly what it is, a rock. But time alters things with a little help. This spot was as rough as the rest of it when the first builders broke ground here thousands of years ago. One of the master builders took to sitting in this very spot, absent-mindedly stroking this very rock as he pondered his next designs. When he died, his apprentice adopted the habit. Over time, all of the masters of this estate have been drawn to this place, this innocuous rock, and all have caressed its surface. Charlie looked at the polished area. He had thought it had been made that way by tools, though for what reason he was unsure. Now he realized the truth of it. Hundreds of hands, over thousands of years, had slowly worn it down, transforming it over lifetimes. You're saying thousands and thousands of years of trial and error evolved your galaxy's magic system? Yes, and now you too are part of that system. I've sensed something in you. It's small for now, just a tiny spark. But magic is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets and the easier it is to wield and control. I don't have any magic in me. I'm human. It's just not possible. Sir Berood cocked his head slightly. But you do. And one day that spark may be fanned into a flame. He sipped his tea and caressed the rock beside him. Think of it like walking. To an infant, the task seems utterly impossible. Yet that same child will one day run and jump, not even thinking about their former state. So it is with magic.
But I can't even do anything with a slop, let alone without one.
The conus and slop are among the devices most often used by those with no power. They can be charged, like the Batris of your world you've spoken of. This allows all to wield magic. But others use them to focus and enhance their own internal gifts. Sir Berood finished his tea and rose to his feet. You have potential, Charlie, a power within. That is why the killing word very nearly worked. Your anger was visceral. And while anger is a terrible place to cast spells from, you have shown you do have the ability to cast. It's not the words alone. If it were, any fool could use magic. He gathered up the cups and pot and turned toward the compound walls. I'll leave you here to consider all of this. I know it is a lot for your mind to handle at first, he said as he walked away. Charlie rose and took his master's still warm seat. Without thinking, he found his hand slowly caressing the glossy groove in the rock as he thought about what living in this galaxy truly meant.